Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We're back on Chicago's afternoon news here on 720 WGNR. We've heard about COVID-19 patients who've been discharged to the hospital only to be readmitted sometimes within 30 days. The question is, why is that? Was the focus of a study by Northwestern Medicine, and one of the lead authors and researchers is on the phone with us now, Dr. Eric Liotta. Doctor, welcome.
Great. Thank you for having me this afternoon.
So tell me, how often is it that a COVID-19 patient who's hospitalized has to go back into the hospital?
Yeah, so we looked at two time points in our study. The first one was within 30 days of discharge, and we saw about 1 in 8 patients had to come either back and get readmitted, or they needed to come to the emergency room, or they had to be observed in the ED overnight. So 1 in 8 patients, and that 4 months, it was about 1 in 5 patients had to come back.
So, and at 4 months, after 4 months, 20% of the patients who were hospitalized were back in the hospital for one way or another.
Yeah, they had come back one way or another for something that needed acute medical attention.
What sorts of symptoms were they showing typically?
So, I think the ones that were most interesting were the patients within 30 days. That 1 in 8 group,
mm-hmm.
because about half of those patients came back to the hospital or the ED because they were having symptoms that were like a recurrence of their COVID-19. So they had shortness of breath or fever or fatigue that was actually worse than when they had been discharged from the hospital. And they were concerned that they were getting bad enough again to need medical attention.
And did I read... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, doctor.
Yeah, that was about half of the patients who had to come back in the 30 days. So a very big number of the re-encounters. And I think that was a surprise to us that it was that frequent of the people who had to come back.
Did I read as well that many of these who had to come back continued to test positive with nasal swabs all the way through?
Yeah, so we had some patients who got nasal swabs repeated on their re-encounters. And about a quarter of the patients who were retested continued to have positive nasal swabs. There was one patient in the study who was positive even 124 days out from their first swab.
Okay, I want to make sure I understand you then. So 75% of the people who came back after the 30 days or within 30 days did not test positive?
Yeah, they had their initial first test that was positive, but when they were retested, three-quarters of them are either were negative or they didn't have a test. Not every patient who was re-encountered had a test. So we only had a certain group of a certain number of these patients who had a repeat test.
I see.
For some reason. But of those who had the repeated test, it was about a quarter who were still positive for a prolonged period of time.
And the most common denominator wasn't universal, but most commonly these patients had suffered from some sort of neurological condition before they contracted COVID-19.
Yeah, so if you look at the reasons people had to come back for re-encounters, the most common comorbidity or medical condition they already had was actually that they had a history of some sort of neurological condition.
And
I think that was surprising to us, too. We didn't really anticipate that, though other major research groups in ours are finding that there seems to be a unique relationship between COVID-19 and the nervous system, that, the layperson might know that by, like, all the patients complaining of brain fog and fatigue. So there seems to be some sort of relationship between the brain and COVID that's unique. And we saw that in our study in the form of people who had a history of neurologic disease. They were more likely to need to come back to the hospital for care.
I want to get to what those conditions are. But before that, if you had asked me, which you wouldn't, hopefully, but or others, we might guess that people who were more likely to be on a ventilator would be more likely to return, or people above the age 85 would be more likely to return. But those didn't seem to be the factors.
Yeah, we didn't see that in our study. We looked at about 500 patients. We looked at an entire month of everyone who was admitted at a Northwestern hospital. And if there's an effect of age or being on a ventilator, it's too small to have been able to see in that sample.
Instead,
so it doesn't mean that there's no risk, but it's a small risk compared to something like the neurologic disease, or even if the patients got steroids during the hospital stay. We saw that was protective in those first 30 days.
So what are these neurological conditions that people, I mean, I don't necessarily know what you mean by that. Can you explain what we're talking about?
Yeah. So we grouped them together. So patients who had a history of epilepsy or stroke or dementia or even chronic headaches. Our study wasn't big enough to look at, you know, a single group to look at just migraines. Mm-hmm. That is one of our goals in the future as we collect, you know, more patients and have more power to investigate things like that. But we took anybody who had those neurological conditions as a group.
And is that uncommon for a virus to have a relation to neurological conditions like that? I would imagine so.
Well, for a pulmonary virus, I think it's unexpected. And maybe that just underscores what I think multiple groups are seeing, is that COVID-19 is more than just a run-of-the-mill pulmonary virus, that it seems to affect the other organ systems, too.
You mentioned that steroids in the hospital helped to avert this. Explain that for me.
Yeah, so if we looked at as far as predictive risk factors, those who had steroid treatments during their initial hospital stay had a lower risk of, so their odds were about 0.3 odds. If you looked at the people who had to come back with COVID-like symptoms, no one who had to come back for COVID-like symptoms had received steroids. Whereas the people who didn't have to come back, about 20% of them had received steroids. So a 0 versus 20.
So does that mean that steroids should be more widely used if someone's hospitalized?
I think we can't use this study to say that we should use steroids, you know, widely in the hospitalized population. I think what this study suggests is that the current uses for steroids, which are mostly given to severe cases to reduce the risk of death, that there might be a role that should be investigated more broadly. And that could include reducing these type of recurrent COVID-type symptoms, but also could there be a role for reducing the long hauler-type symptoms that have been mentioned? I think this study adds some weight that those questions need to be investigated.
And just for my own clarification, the people that you studied are not the same as the people we consider long haulers, correct?
Well, they were everybody who was in the hospital. Some of those patients did go on to have long hauler type symptoms. So some people are still having cognitive issues and fatigue, but not everybody in this group was long haulers. But some people who are hospitalized can go on to be long haulers. But there's also people who are never hospitalized who go on to be long haulers. We don't know what causes that. Part of the motivation for our study was, what is maybe the magnitude of the more severe symptoms that these patients are experiencing and how frequently? So our study suggested at least 1 in 8 people have something bad enough in 30 days where they had to come back to the hospital for.
Dr. Eric Liotta from Northwestern Medicine, he is a neurocritical care specialist and one of the authors of the study out today. Doctor, thank you for your time. I know you're very busy. I appreciate your work, and even more, I appreciate your explaining it to us.
Great. Thank you very much for having me. Have a good afternoon.
You too. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up.